Hey there, adventurers. Get those headphones adjusted, immerse yourself in fantasy, and roll the intro.
Are you really putting a bunny cam text up on the
ready for bunny cam text.
Ladies and gentlemen, the bunny cam is in the stream. And with that, let's get to a quick recap. But I forgot to do the intro. Welcome back to the table, everybody. It's been a little bit for us, not for the listeners, but for us it has been. So with that being the case, how about we do get into a little recap?
Before we do, can we mention about the elephant in the room? We are missing one person.
Oh, yeah. Bernard can't make it today. And depending on how many recordings we do today, he might only be out of one episode. He might be out of two, maybe three. Who knows? But he is not here. He is on vacation, sipping drinks out of a coconut somewhere on a beach, I think. I don't know. But he is not here. But with that, now we can get to the recap. Last time, we were in the town of Hilfar. You guys were helping Jonathan investigate the old ruined temple to the old gods in the western district of Hilfar. With an encounter with the guards, eventually Bernard on his own went off and found the halfling and killed the halfling, which in turn froze up the rest of the guards that were still standing. Bernard found a very strange object down there. There were goblins mining away. He scared them off. The goblins weren't fighters. They were just workers. So they ran out. And what he found was interesting. It was a large pearl. Something you'd have to kind of hold in two hands. Definitely Bernard would have to, but fairly large for a pearl that looked in like perfect condition. When Bernard picked it up, he looked into it and the pearl changed into a swirling blackness. And upon that, something happened. Well, since he was by himself, he started walking back up out of the catacombs that they found under the temple. And that's when Bernard found Vinthro. Vinthro approached him and Bernard eventually threw the pearl at Vinthro, hitting him in the head. Dealing some decent damage as he rolled a natural 20.
Right in my face.
Yes, right in your face. And with that, there was some identification spells cast and some insight checks. And you guys found out through identification that this is called a sphere of chaos. And there's only been one object since the beginning of time that has been called that. And it is made from pure evil. With that, Vinthro wrapped up the sphere of chaos and put it into the bag of holding. You guys made your way back out, made it out of the city, and returned back to the giant tree that Jonathan calls home. The next morning, you guys, to kind of give you, they didn't really have any gold to give you, but they did all give you horses. So you all now have horses to traverse this countryside. As you guys start to make your way to the Moonkin Circle. First day of travel, nothing really seems to happen except that night at camp when the fight broke out between Valkon and Kronos over a turtle that Valkon was trying to, just make dinner. And Kronos kind of got up and heated for some reason over a turtle. And that's kind of where we left off. It's the next morning, but first, back when you guys are kind of standing around the campfire watching this fight, Vinthro, you are holding the bag of holding, right?
Yes.
Give me a perception check, as this would be like in the middle of the fight. I'm kind of retconning some stuff.
Didn't Vinthro also have that vision where this entity...
That was
last session. The one
was
before
last?
That, you mean?
I think it
no,
was
that was
that.
Last session. That was last session.
Yeah, because you guys leveled up last session. Okay, so
that's why he gathered it was made of pure evil because that an ominous entity talked to him and
yes.
13.
The bag of holding starts to get really warm as there is this chaos brewing in the party.
And you cook with that ability now.
I would like to take
if you heat up the party enough, can you cook food?
Okay. You take it out, it's still wrapped up. It is kind of vibrating.
Oh, I look over to idiots fighting. Mm-hmm. I look down at the orb again. I look back to the two idiots fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I put the orb back in the bag.
Okay.
And I go to bed.
Okay. Vibrating goes away, but the bag does kind of feel warm to the touch, which is very strange because it's a bag of holding. So, I mean, it's kind of like putting an object into a whole nother dimension. So it's just something to note. But with that, yes, the next morning arises. Jonathan starts to, you know, pack up his bedroll, get his horse ready for the day. Is there anything you guys want to do before you leave camp?
I make sure that the two idiots are not at each other's throat.
I would like to try and find the corpse of Shelley and build a little grave.
What'd you do with the shell? Oh, God.
I have the shell.
Yeah,
I wanted to keep
it. They literally cooked the
shell. Yeah, so it's really just a shell and he's got it now. Yeah, so you look bones. Around, you don't I'm find buried. Anything.
Oh,
yeah.
They cooked it.
Maybe some bones, but.
I will bury the bones.
Okay. Find a nice spot. Easy enough. Agora is the soil is pretty soft almost everywhere you go, except for where you guys found the Sphere of Chaos. And yeah, you make a little grave. You put the bones away, bury them up.
I pack up and start heading out as well.
Okay. You guys all pack up your stuff. Cloudy morning today. No rain overnight, but the muggy air of Wagora definitely, you guys are feeling it coming from Wagora, which was such a dry desert place. You guys spend a few hours in silence, just enjoying the morning on your horses, not having to walk everywhere. Might be fairly nice. You guys are walking through this. It's like a large path that's been cut out from these swamp trees. They're very large, and it seems to be a fairly nice maintained road. And eventually, you guys like come over this crest. It's about midday. It is very kind of hilly. It's like rolling hills kind of all over Rigora. So you guys are constantly kind of climbing and coming down hills, going up hills. And why don't we all do a perception check as you crest this hill and you can kind of see far in the distance.
12.
12? Okay.
12. 21.
Okay.
20.
Oh, you missed this. I made, I don't know if you remember, but one of the sessions, Valcon asked for the ingredients that the Pot family needs. And so in the journal section, there is a tab you should be able to read that says Pot's ingredients if you want to just take
Pots
a look at that.
Ingredients.
Yes, I've made up some all their like typical spices and herbs, and then some rare like specialty stuff for like really specialty dishes that is
that's
kind of harder to find.
Bernie related to Pol Pots by any chance?
What's that?
Specialing,
not Pol Pots.
Pol Pots. Yeah, he was a dictator many years ago.
Special ingredient. Special ingredients. I read moon dust.
Yes.
Yes.
Is that like powdered moon sugar? And you make skooma out of it or something?
Maybe. Well, maybe. I will not. What's the saying? I will not confirm or deny that.
Yes,
yeah. You're a ranger. I don't know. Mix some stuff together. Try to get fucked up.
Mix skooma. Get a drug deal going on.
But you know what? Fuck the main storyline. We're going to become skooma dealers. okay. So for anybody that made it over 10, which I think is everybody, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So you all see this. It's not something super hard to see. Kronos, you in particularly think it might be a monk monastery coming up in the distance. You all see this building that is like built into and a little up off the trail, but there is like a path leading up to it. It's not hidden by any means. It looks like you guys could get there by nightfall. Jonathan kind of turns around in his seat and says, so I don't know if you all see the building up ahead, but I was thinking that would be a really safe place to stay for the night, so we're not camping out in the woods.
You know that building?
Yes, I do. It's the Silver Crest Monastery. I know the, I guess you could call her like the head monk. I helped him out a few years ago, and they are very welcoming to me and anybody that I consider friends or family. So,
okay,
I think it'd be a good place. We'd be out of harm if, you know, and surrounded by monks and stuff like that. So we'd be pretty safe.
Sure.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, where on the world map is it? Is it this building there or that one?
This one, yes. You guys are going up through here. Yeah, like the tree is like, and if you feel free to write on this map if you guys want to, but like the tree, the big large tree that Jonathan calls home is like in this group of trees right here. And then you kind of came out and walked up or rode up this path, and then you'll get to this building.
What was the name again of the monastery?
I will type it in chat, but it's called the Silver Crest Monastery.
Okay.
And why don't I get a history roll from our local, Vinthro?
Oh, gosh.
Give me a history check on the Silver Crest Monastery.
That is
7
plus...
Would I do that as well?
Yes, you can as well. 14. Okay.
Oh, 8.
8. Mm. With an 8, you would have heard of this place, but you don't really know anything about it. With a 14, you know that the Silver Crest Monastery, all monk monasteries, they worship a certain dragon. And they worship a ancient silver dragon. And that is one of the dragons of Rigora, one of the few ancient dragons of Rigora.
So instead of Udes having the bronze, we have the silver over here.
Yes. Yes, Rigora's got the silver. You would also know there is another monastery that is in Leafcrest that worships a black dragon, but the black dragon is not an ancient dragon. It's not one of the dragons of Rigora, but there is supposedly a black dragon somewhere in Rigora. And that's really all you get with a 14. So you guys continue your travels throughout the day. Nothing really eventful happens. The weather, the clouds seem to kind of move away around 2 o'clock in the afternoon and the sun comes out. So it's a beautiful sunny day for the rest of the day of your travel. Is there anything anybody wants to do while you're traveling or?
Keep a lookout.
Okay. Give me a perception.
There was a carrier that was supposed to deliver something to the tree.
Yes.
And never arrived. That is 15.
You guys seem to be the only ones on the road. Nobody seems to be following you.
Okay. I'd like to do some hunting in the woods nearby.
Yeah, sure. You're a ranger. You could keep up with the group. Why don't we do a survival check?
All right. I'm not hunting for turtles, though.
I was just about to say, if you bring back a turtle, we're going to have problems.
I mean, all you can find now are turtles, so...
Oh, no.
It's the only edible creature now in Rigora. Everything else has become corrupted with chaos for some reason. Turtles are just the only...
That's
a 30.
30? Oh, my God. Yeah, what do you want to... what are you looking for? I mean, you're going to find it with 30.
deer?
Yeah, sure enough. I will even say with a 30, you see a like little gaggle of deer. I don't know what you call a group of deer, a flock. No, that's birds. But herd? You do hear
a herd.
Yeah, a herd. And there is like, what's the best way to describe
stag?
It? They are kind of white. It's more of a gray.
Mm. Would I have seen anything like that before?
Roll a history check.
All right.
And you do get one. You know.
Eight.
Sure. You're a ranger. It's not that hard. These are moon deer.
Moon deer?
Yes. They have like a gray texture. Like their fur is all like kind of gray. And the meat is supposed to be very good. So you kind of post yourself up in a tree and you kind of wait for a bit. You kind of stalk them from jumping to tree branch, and then you finally get an open shot, pull out an arrow, and you let it loose, and it finds directly the heart of the animal. So for all those animal lovers out there, it doesn't suffer at all. It goes instantly down, and then you go skin it, gut it, and take what you need from it. Is there anything in particular that you want besides just like meat? I'll say it's got it had antlers.
Antlers, I would think. Yeah, some antlers.
Okay, you break off the antlers and, yeah.
Are they white?
Yes, they are. They're like ivory.
Hmm, very nice, very nice.
By the way, we need moon deer supplied for the trade route at some point. The liver or the meat.
We had a quest for that, or?
Yes, it's in the special ingredients for the pots ingredients.
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess
if you want, to make like a little X on, I would say on the left side of the trail is probably where you were hunting. Probably like right by the K, you could put like a little moon deer herd hunting ground.
Yeah. Moon deer herd hunting ground.
So. You get your, you kill a moon deer, you skin it, get the meat from it, and you take the ivory antlers.
Okay, main ingredients. I don't think we can edit it.
No, we cannot edit. Well, to be fair, we should not edit that because it's a trade route we need to establish with that, not just one meat.
You guys should have a journal you can write in.
Yes. Journal for players. Oh, yeah, there. Okay.
So if you want to just put, like, found moon deer.
There are a lot of names in there.
Yes, but it's not like we need to cross it off like, hey, we found moon deer meat. It still needs to be established as a trade route.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's not like, hey, we found one deer. That's enough to bring back home.
They said either a trade route or find a way to clear their name so they can return home. One of the two. You guys, you do that. Anything anybody else wants to do while travel before we get to the monastery?
Can I name my horse?
Oh, sure. No.
Oh. You want to name it? It is yours.
I know what it will be called.
Everyone knows what it's going to be called at this point. Me and my horses.
Yeah.
It's another thick horse called Jeff.
Yes!
Jeff. I mean, it is a very thick horse. It's one of the, like, the fucking Bushwhizer horses for Valcon and Kronos because they're so big. They have the same style of horse. All right.
It makes its way back from EDDS.
All the way back, full circle. So, night falls or is about. Yeah, just past nightfall, you guys get to the Silver Crest Monastery. And as you walk up the pathway that leads off the main trail, it's a very nice walled building, fairly large little compound here. There are gates, but they're open. You do see, as you guys get close to the gates, two monks walk up and welcome Jonathan. Jonathan, glad to see you're back. Oh, I see you've brought friends. Please come in. We'll get some people to take care of your guys' horses. Please, please come in. It's great to see you again. And then Jonathan comes back with, very good to see you, my friends, and gives them like a good handshake. And the few monks come out and they take your horses away to over to like a stable area where there's a few other horses stabled. And the monk that greeted Jonathan kind of does like a bow and says, I will go inform Demo that you are here. And he says, thank you very much. So you guys are kind of led out into like this courtyard, very, very large courtyard that's like perfectly kept. Grass is very nicely trimmed. The walkways are very nicely maintained. There's a nice little fountain in the middle. In the fountain is depicted of a large dragon with its wings spread wide, and water is coming out of its mouth and then falls into the actual fountain. Behind the fountain and in front of you guys is like what you would think is like the main building. There are a few smaller buildings scattered throughout this courtyard. But the biggest one has a row of like 4 to 5 steps that are the length of the building that lead up. There are these really two big columns and then big double doors that are open. All the doors here seem to be opened. And eventually, as you guys are standing around waiting for this person named Demo, she finally appears. As she gets closer to you guys, I want you all to roll a perception check.
19.
Okay, 2 19s.
Natural
20.
Perfect. And Vinric.
Wow, 2 natural 20s and 2 19s.
Wow. Okay, so you guys definitely all see this. It wasn't super hard, but the moon is out tonight. Like I said, it was a really clear day. And now that the night has fallen and the moon is up, she walks through a like beam of moonlight. And across her face, you get a glimpse of like silver scales that like run along her cheek and like down her neck. And then as she gets out of the moonlight, they kind of disappear. It's very faint. You almost don't notice them, but you all see this just beautiful woman standing before you. At first, you think she might be a half-elf, but something seems to be a little off. You know what half-elves look like, but what stands before you is something much more. Long silver hair that reaches far past her waist kind of blows in the wind as she walks up. Pointy features that resemble an elf's face are apparent, but the roundness of a human's face can be noticed in her cheeks. Big golden eyes seem to pierce through you and are filled with warmth and compassion. If you didn't know any better, you feel like you'd be like being charmed. But Vinthro, you know there is no magic being cast at the moment. But you guys just all kind of feel this presence of just kind of power, warmth, and compassion just radiating from this person as she walks up and greets you all with a warmly smile and says, Jonathan, so pleasure to see you. What do we owe you the pleasure? He kind of does like a slight bow and says, Demo, it is a pleasure to see you once again. And we are just passing through and needed a safe place to stay. And I figured I haven't seen you guys in a while. So, and then I brought some of my traveling companions along. This is Valcon, Kronos, Vinthro, and Vinric. And she greets you all with a warm smile and says, welcome to the monastery. I'm sure you guys have been traveling all day. So how does a warm meal sound for some of you? As she kind of smiles towards Kronos.
Sounds wonderful.
Very good.
After the meal, I do have some questions for you.
And I'll hopefully have some answers for you. Please join me in the my commissary. And as she like brings you guys into a little, it's like a dining room, and you guys sit down on the ground at a long table. There's like cushions for you to sit on. Soon after that, like drinks are brought out, and as the meal is being prepared, she looks at you all and says, so you guys kind of don't look like you're from around here. If I guess correctly, the clothing, just based off clothing, Udesh for some of you?
Yeah, we just came from Udesh.
Very good.
We are on a matter of securing a trade route to Udesh.
Oh, okay.
And wondering why there was no more ships coming this way.
Well...
Or coming the way from Agora. So
yes,
we're investigating. And we now know why. Mm.
Have you met some of the new Kingsguard?
Yes.
Mm, yes, yeah, lovely people, aren't they?
Yeah, lovely. Totally lovely.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
We've also heard that there are hostile creatures that behave very strangely and hostile towards everyone they come across.
Yes, you would be correct. There has been some weird going-ons in at least the Featherfall Kingdom. I haven't been outside the Monk Walls in some time, so I'm not sure about the other kingdoms, but with the new rule of the new king came some not-so-great changes.
Yeah. Well, we have heard some other stuff as well, but we can take that after the dinner because we have something in our possession that you might know of.
Is that right? She is going to roll a perception check.
Okay.
Oh my God, 35.
Wow.
Okay. Well,
wow.
We have something in our possession, yes. It's in the bag of holding.
Yes, I can feel a uneasy presence coming from your party.
Yeah.
I mean, me and Valcon did have a fight, so that might be the uneasy presence you're feeling.
Fight?
No.
Yeah, amongst the party?
Yeah.
That's not good. Well, hopefully all matters have been settled, and because when you're out doing things that I imagine you're doing with Jonathan, you all need to be on the same page.
Yes.
Your lives could count on it. And remember, if there's something that needs to be discussed or worked out, I always recommend trying to work those things out. So something bad doesn't happen when you need to rely on each other, but you can't. Just some words of the wise. And at this moment, food is brought out to you guys, a bunch of delicious meals. Has Venthor ever been to Yuma?
No.
Very far away from Rigora.
Yeah,
it's like
no.
It'd be like going from
California only been in to
and yeah.
It's the only two kingdoms.
Okay, okay, okay. Dishes you guys are unfamiliar with. For the players, it's a lot of rices, a bunch of dishes with rice, kind of very Asian inspired dishes. And lots of like seafood, lots of fish. There is some raw fish.
Do they have sushi?
Beds of rice. Yes. it is very Asian inspired meal.
Cool, cool.
And as you guys are sitting there enjoying your meal, she kind of continues the conversation as you guys are eating and says, well, we'll get to the object that you have in your bag of holding in a little bit, but more pleasantries. Where are you guys headed? Where is Jonathan taking? What has Jonathan got you into? More importantly, and she like kind of laughs and he laughs. And
well, nothing too bad. Well, it
that's
is
hard to believe.
It's kind of his fault. We have this item in our possession, but we're going to the Moon Circle. The what was it called again? The Moonkin Circle.
The Ooh. Druids. Halflings, yeah.
Yes.
Good luck with them.
See if they also knew something about this object.
Yeah, they don't even really like to talk to me, which I think is really rude. But yeah, they are. Jonathan's not going with you, is he? He's like, no, I'm just taking them to the trail because I know that will be very bad if I go. So
yeah, we hope that we can convince them that the rising threat of these monsters is also a threat to them and their woods eventually if it is allowed to grow.
Yes,
I wouldn't be surprised if they already knew about more of what's going on than anybody else, but they're so stubborn that they don't really care what happens to anybody else. Now I will tell you there might be someone there that's useful. I forget his name, but he's younger. He's one of the younger druids there, who's got a little bit of a different mind than the elders. He's not against outsiders like they are. So if you can find him, or if he knows about you, it might be easier to talk to him than the elders, but I'm sure you will be brought to the elders right away as soon as you step foot on their land. I would highly recommend not picking a fight with them. They might be stuck in their old ways, but they are very powerful druids.
But if this fellow is so young, I'm sure he's nothing more than a novice. He hasn't gotten any decision-making to do in the circle administration, right?
No, he does not. He's the son of the head elder. But I was thinking more of if you guys needed information. I mean, they're not even going to let you into their compound. I will tell you that right now. But if he, you know, if you can get an audience with him somehow, it might be more fruitful of a visit. What are you guys looking for anyways? Like, anything, were you going to ask him about the thing that's in your bag?
Yeah, and try to get the help with it. And kind of also on this entire
issue.
New King deal?
Yes. I made a oath a long time ago that we aren't allowed to interfere with the trifles of
politics,
kings and queens and politics and all this stuff. But I am a wealth of information. So if there's, I would like to see Wargora to go back to the way it was when King Yulin the First was ruling. It used to be a really, really, really happy place to live. And on top of that, all the monsters and crazy stuff that is happening isn't helping.
I mean, but they might be stubborn, and I haven't dealt with them before, but even the hardest isolationists care what happens to their own kind, right?
I would think so. They're a little different of a halfling than you know. Some say they're original, like the first. They come from the descending of the first halfling races ever to roam, Vora. They are a little different. There's no easy way to say it. They're very racist against the halflings you know. They think they are mutts in a way, dirty blood.
I think the only way to get through them is to hopefully get that young fellow's ear and convince him to help the others see that this danger is threatening their circle of druids too.
Yes, and like I said, he is the son of the head elder, so like...
He's not a nobody, so to say.
Yeah, he isn't. Yeah, exactly. He isn't a nobody. Not that he's got much power, but he isn't a nobody. So there is something for you all. But I wish you the best of luck on your journeys. And at this point, a monk comes running in to the dinner and says, Timo, we have an issue outside at the front gate. And she's like, okay. Excuse me, all. And she gets up. Do you guys want to follow her?
I'll follow.
Okay.
Yes, same.
Okay.
I follow as well.
Okay. You all get back out to the courtyard and see at the gate that you all came through. There is what appears to be a human man. Something is not right. He is like, almost looks like he's really drunk, and he's probably about 40 feet away from you guys, and he kind of stumbles in, and monks are kind of like, hey man, hey, it's okay, it's okay. And you can see that there's boils all over his skin, and his skin seems to just be like kind of peeling off. And once Demo takes a couple more steps, so you guys are about, I will say, 30 feet away from this man. He like seizes up, and you can hear like bones break. And Demo screams, "Get away from him!" And so the monks start backing up, and then he lifts up off the ground. And a really scratchy voice, he says, "The time of the scaled ones is nigh. The white-haired one will overcast the scaled ones, and Vora will be engulfed in black flames that the shadow ones have endured for so long." And then explodes. And everybody needs to do a dex saving throw.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. What is everybody's roll?
19.
Oh, 19. Fuck. I got 4. Yeah.
I got
four.
Oh no, that's the ability check. It's not saving throw.
Yeah, dex saving.
Yeah.
I got a 4.
So that's 25.
That seems fine. Yeah, I was about to say you're a monk. Like it'd be really hard for you.
I forget. I was supposed to do a advantage, I think, with the danger sense, but I didn't. But
you just roll
if
again.
If I remember correctly, if you can see what is coming at you, you get advantage.
I got an 8. Yeah. I got an 8. Sorry.
So this is something you can see. Like his body starts to like blow up like a bubble, and like eventually just pops.
Okay.
Okay, with so you succeed 20, too.
Yeah. I got an 8.
So this guy comes in and speaks, and then he kind of starts to blow up like a bubble and explodes. The four monks that were kind of like backing up from him disintegrate. Anybody that fails takes 66 of damage, which comes to 17 points of acid damage.
Ow.
As this green gunk, like, as soon as it hits you, just starts to eat away at anything it lands on, skin, armor, whatever it is. And then the commotion is over. Jonathan looks up and is like, "What the fuck was that?" Demo looks a little shaken after hearing these words. What are you all doing?
Well, I'm taking 17 acid damage, so...
We take no damage if we succeed, right?
Or is yes, it half? No damage if you succeed.
Okay.
Now, with that, is Vinthro now taking like a constant burning?
Mm-mm. Okay. Not that you're aware of.
Hmm.
Vinthro, roll another perception check again.
Was I the only one that failed that check?
I believe so.
I got
and Valcon. No, he did advantage. 8 for perception?
No, at the dex save.
No, give me a perception check now. Yeah.
Okay. Natural 20, so 25.
You feel the bag of holding warming up again.
God damn it.
As this chaos just happened in front of you.
I'd like to address something to the group. We really need to stop being around chaos with this thing.
Just, it's hard to do since we are tasked to solve this.
Yes, but you remember what happened yesterday evening?
You mean with the turtle?
Yes, if we could turn that down a notch again as well, because that the orb reacts to that as well.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Don't you want to show it to,
yes,
to her?
Now that
I think it's, yeah, she
probably not
speaks
safe
up.
Out here, but probably go inside again.
Let's go inside. I need to see this, and then I have to go speak with the others.
Well, if you don't mind, I will
so who's
stay.
Who's this white-haired guy?
I don't know.
Inside check.
Okay.
No, my natural one.
you think she doesn't know?
But if you don't mind, I would stand watch on. Is there like a gate with walls or?
The whole compound has very nice walls. It not necessarily meant to walk on, but you can. Like it's got a little flat surface. Like just think All of right. stone walls with a flat surface that is maybe I don't know, 2 feet wide.
And yeah, just in case.
Wide enough for you to hang out on. Yeah.
I would say to her, like, just in case another one of these comes up and I see them approach, I would take them out from long distance before they can get any closer.
I appreciate that. Once you get up there, give me a perception check. As you kind of climb up onto the wall at the front gate and kind of start looking around, got your bow ready, kind of doing your ranger thing.
17.
You see a hunched figure disapparate.
This
like
this
teleport. What? Sorry.
Oh.
Using Harry Potter terms. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
They teleport. Disapparate.
It teleports. Okay.
Like you see like a shadowed hunched figure, like holding like a staff.
Okay.
You can't make out any details except that it's really like hunched over, probably no taller than 5'10".
Halfling size, perhaps?
No, taller. 5'10"-ish.
Oh, okay.
Hunched. Maybe if it was standing upright, it'd be maybe a little over 6 foot. That's how bad the hunch is.
I see.
It's holding something of like a staff in its hand, and then it just teleports.
I can't see him anywhere reappearing, just vanishing.
Nope.
Hmm.
And it looked like it was watching you. Like you felt like it. Once you locked eyes on it, you like locked eyes with the figure.
Hmm.
So you knew it was standing there looking at the monastery's gate.
So I'm just guessing that he controlled that corpse explosion thing.
Potentially. Hmm. Whatever it was.
Yeah, I'll send watch up there.
Okay. All right. That's all you see. Now we'll camera kind of pans back over you guys. You guys go back into the room that you were eating at. Demo says, all right, let's see this object that you're carrying.
Take out the orb that is still covered in the cloth.
Yes.
And I unwrap it. Do not touch it when I unwrap it. Our halfling friend tossed it in my face when he touched it without any protection. So, yeah.
So. Possession, then.
Yes, I will slowly unwrap it, so like it's still on top of the cloth.
Okay, and you unwrap it.
Yes.
The last time you saw this, it was a pearl, perfectly good pearl.
Yes.
When you pulled it out, you felt this before when there was the fight amongst the party. It was vibrating a little bit. It's still vibrating just a little bit. And when you unwrap it, you get the light, like everybody sees this. The pearl, it's turning back into its pearl shape, but you just ever so see that swirling blackness and like this flash of red light, and then it goes back to being a pearl. And you look up and you see the expression on Demo's face, which is very wide-eyed, her mouth is like agaped a little bit. And she recomposes herself. She says, where the hell did you find this?
Down in Hilfar, underneath the ruins in the middle of the city.
The Temple to the Thander?
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense. The Thander was said to be a good god. When
we're not totally sure if it was placed there before all of this happened or that the Neo King brought it there because they were doing something with it down there.
I think they were digging it up. They were like mining it. He puts his 2 cents in. So I don't think it was like placed there. She goes, yeah, no, I think you're right, Bernard. I don't think it was placed there either. This would have been. You know what this is, do you?
An orb of chaos.
Yes, the sphere of chaos.
Yes.
How much do you guys know about the Chaos Realm? Probably not much, I'm guessing.
Wisdom check.
Sure. It's very hard.
Natural 20. 27.
Natural 20. Wow. I'll give you something, but yeah, you practically needed a natural 20. 27. Wow.
Yeah.
There is said to be, and you would just know this from like travels, and there are still like prophets and conspiracies of gods returning and all this yada 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 yada. You remember in your travels, you heard a prophet speak of chaos is returning. The realm of chaos will be upon us. Now, at the time, you're like, just another fucking crazy prophet.
Yeah.
When you think back, you remember him saying things like, oh, the world will be consumed in black flames and darkness, and the realm of chaos will be upon us, and the monsters of chaos will devour our souls, and yada, 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 right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what you know of the realm of chaos. Demo speaks and says, the realm of chaos is an actual place. It's hard to describe of its location. It's another realm. It doesn't mirror Vora. It's like under Vora is the best way. Not like you can't dig to it. You can't swim to it. You can't fly to it. Obviously, the only way to get to it is by portal. Now, it's not a place you want to go because it is the realm of chaos. And it is exactly that. Nothing but chaos.
I'm out of context. Created the... Are you describing like the upside down from Stranger Things?
I was just thinking.
I don't know what that is because I haven't seen Stranger Things. But
okay, exactly.
We were on the same page.
Like a parallel dimension.
Yes.
He's more describing the chaos realms in World of War.
Yes.
Or in Warhammer.
I mean,
not in World
of War. Warhammer. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Like, if you need a reference, if you don't like get the like, if you don't know the D&D realm of chaos. Then, like, yeah, Warhammer 3, like, think, you know, Realm of Chaos is literally blackness. Yeah, there's no, like, you wouldn't want to go there. You would lose yourself. You would, everything that you are would be gone, consumed. It is said in very old texts that what created the realm of chaos was the sphere of chaos. A perfectly white pearl as such as this one.
Great.
How about you create your own?
Destroy it.
Maybe I could just punch it.
A item this magical? I don't know if you can.
Might there be a big volcano somewhere where we need to travel
need
to and
drop it
toss
down.
It into it or something?
How'd you know, dude? How'd you know? That's crazy, Demo says. No, there is no volcano. I'm not saying it's indestructible. But this is like, I don't even know where I'd begin to start to think on how to destroy something like this.
What if me and Valcon just start beating on it for like a full day?
No.
Yeah, Kronos. That, if we both jump on it, I mean, that's a lot of weight.
That's like 600 pounds right there. That's what
I do agree that would be a lot of weight, but I don't. I don't think that is the key to
don't think.
And honestly,
you don't know.
If you were to destroy something like this, you wouldn't want to do it on the realm you're living on. Let's say that.
As the realm would cease to exist or something?
There would be something very terrible. Something this magical, if it was to be destroyed, there would be mass destruction on probably a worldwide scale event.
So even if one does manage to somehow destroy it, it would come at a hefty price.
Yes. The more than likely... The person that would ever destroy this thing would be taken along with it.
Okay, I have a question real quick.
Cronus, go ahead.
I hope I can answer it
for you. So, we obviously have a bag of holding here, correct?
My bag of holding, yes.
Yes, bag of holding, okay. And the bag of holding technically is its own place.
We're not destroying my bag of holding.
It what if we destroyed the orb in the bag of holding?
In the bag of holding.
You can't hit the orb in the bag of holding unless you destroy the bag of holding.
You would have to go in the bag of holding, which you can't
What if we just put the orb in the bag of holding and put that bag of holding in another bag of holding?
No. You open up a black hole and kill everybody.
Yeah.
As like a win-win written, to me. I believe. I think
you're not the first D&D player to think of such a thing.
No, definitely not.
You don't put a pocket dimension the bag into of, a pocket the, dimension.
Yeah, the bag of holding is very light magic. Like, you, and this is Demo speaking, by the way. It's, I can't stress, you don't, it's hard to wrap your mind around the how magical this item is. It literally created its own realm.
Yeah.
And the realm it created is to do nothing but destroy, consume, and the cycle repeats. I mean, the creatures that come from this realm are abominations, creatures of pure evil.
Well, if it's such high magic, maybe the only ones that could maybe get an idea out of it are some ancient dragon of our realm here that might maybe be able to, you know.
Give me an insight when you say that. Anybody can that wants to.
That is
12.
12, okay.
Okay, never mind. It's 20.
20.
Right?
Yeah, 12. They ain't gonna do it.
No, but the 20 will. You remember her saying, I need to go talk to the others. And you remember the moonlight hitting her face and seeing silver scales over her cheek and down her neck. You're talking to one right now.
Oh. We're talking to the ancient dragon. Great.
And she says, could like ancient dragon, when you were like, would an ancient dragon know? Yes, they would. Now, whether if they help us or not is another question. Some of the ancient dragons can be kind of like those druids, stubborn and stuck in their old ways. But not that I know them personally, so.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Is there a way that we can get in contact with them? With the ancient silver dragon that you're worshipping here in the...
Yeah, she will be informed of all of this. I will do that personally. And speaking of which, I do need to get going on my travels, to speak with some of the others. You guys are safe here for the night, so I hope. And, you're welcome to stay.
Can I follow you out?
Sure.
Thank you. I would like to have a little bit of a one-on-one with her while walking out.
I'm guessing you wrap up the...
Yes, I wrap up it up and put it
anger
in the bag.
Anger, danger, and
put it back. Yes. I'm not leaving it with the Cronus and the Valkon at the moment.
I just see like Valkon like poking it with his great axe. Like, yeah, I think I could break this. I definitely could fucking break this thing. Like,
I'm not leaving it with those.
And then another realm of chaos comes into existence.
He would try crushing it and then try and smoke it.
Yeah, there you go. Or snort it or something. Turn into fucking Demogorgon or some shit like that. No, yeah. So you follow her out and
Yes.
She's like, is there something you wanted to talk privately?
Do you know of the being Xiang, the mistress of the night?
Hmm. I do. She is a... she's an evil deity. Not one of the worst, that's for sure. She's very... She's lawful. She's not chaotic. If I had to put a word on it. So that's what kind of makes her a little better than some of the evil deities that are said to be out there. Be careful with the power she gives you. If I'm reading this correctly.
Yeah. You are. Wanted to know more of it, of her, before committing to actually, yeah, getting her help, since she says she can help with this situation.
Honestly, wouldn't be a bad person to have on your side. Her ways might be a little unjust, but not somebody you also want to piss off either.
Yeah, I get that.
Be wary of one of her followers, another deity, Lolf.
Oh.
The Spider Queen.
Yeah, I've heard about her before. Dark Elves. Right? Mm.
Yes.
Well, thanks for the information, and I do hope you have a safe travel.
Yes, I will. But thank you. Safe travels, and you and your party are welcome to here anytime. She puts a hand on your shoulder, and then like she smiles and her hand just starts to like dissolve into like sparkles, like fairy dust almost, and then she just is like dissolves into fairy dust and is gone.
I'll just go inside again.
All right. With that, Jonathan kind of speaks to you all and says, well, I think it's safe to say we should probably be on watch duty tonight, even though we are, there will be monks up at all times tonight, but maybe just having an extra pair of eyes and ears wouldn't be a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. I'm on it.
Yeah, you want? I'll definitely do that.
Falcon, you want to take first watch?
Yeah, I'll go until someone else is... rested enough.
All right. He takes you back to where all your guys' rooms are. It's just one big room with a bunch of bedrolls in it. There is a bathhouse if you would like to clean yourselves before you go to bed. There is that option. And we will get to the first watch. Falcon.
Yes.
It's pretty... You guys got there after dark. This time of year, it's probably right around... 9-ish. It was 30 hours of in each day in my world. But so about 9 o'clock is when the sun set. It's probably like, we'll say it's a few hours into your watch. We'll say between dinner, the dude that exploded, and like after the scene after, we'll say about 2 hours. It's probably about midnight-ish for you right now. You're kind of just patrolling around. Why don't you give me a perception check as you're just kind of, do you want to like walk outside the walls? Do you want to walk through buildings? What do you, you're kind of open ranged to kind of go anywhere you want. Nobody's going to stop you. So like, what do you want to kind of patrol? You can stand in one place if you like.
I would say, so Valcon's going to be patrolling around. He's going to check in between buildings, but he's going to definitely focus on going a little bit outside of the walls. Okay. Also just to make sure the, at least where the entrance is clear.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So just to give you a better idea of the layout, it's just think of a large rectangular, like within the walls. So there's no like really weird places people could hide, but there are like little alleyways between a few of these buildings. So you kind of walk through there, and once you kind of get out, nothing seems out of the ordinary. You do see monks kind of like cleaning up the area, like with some sort of substance, because there's still like acid on the ground that's kind of still burning, and they're like throwing some sort of substance on it that's like diluting the acid, and then they're kind of cleaning it up. Some of them nod to you as you're making your way out of the front gate. You will say you go right. Once you get out of the gate, you come around that first wall, and behind is mainly just swamp forest kind of area. Why don't you give me a perception check once you turn that corner around the wall?
15.
Not bad. Don't see anything out of the ordinary.
I'm going to be listening.
Really just
when I'm outside.
Yeah, listening. Okay. You kind of hear just the sounds of a forest. You hear a few branches break, like something stepped on something. You kind of prepare yourself, but then you just see some deer passing by, some more of that, those gray colored deer as they pass by 30, 40 feet away. But nothing dangerous, nothing that really triggers your sense that you need to alarm anybody. Soon after your shift is up, who wants to take the next one?
I can take the second watch.
Okay.
Falcon is going to head to the bathhouse when he's relieved.
Yeah. Go. They got like, there's like individual really big round, like wooden tubs you can fit, and you find the biggest one. Nice, cool or warm water, whatever you want. All right.
Something unique I want to point out. So when he gets in the bathhouse, he has very elaborate, like very different tribal tattoos covering like his back and down his legs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a slight blue glow like his eyes, but not as strong. But there, okay. It's almost like it was introduced a little bit.
Yeah, perfect. All right. So you do that and go get some rest. Venric, where would you like to patrol? What would you like to do on your watch?
I'd like to cover up a different section than where Valkon just went to on his watch. So maybe like the other side of it.
Yeah, so the left side. So yeah, you kind of do a short patrol inside. Nothing. At this point, the area that the dude exploded is cleaned up, but you see like acid burns on the ground. There's grass that is now, it's just like dirt patches and stuff like that. There are a few monks at the front gate. There you see a couple more like just outside of buildings, kind of standing on guard. You leave and go left out the front gate. And once you get directly out of the gate, why don't you give me a perception check?
26.
You're walking around the left-hand side. That creature you saw when you got up on the wall was kind of, you were looking out at the main road and off to the left a bit.
Yo.
Welcome back. And you're walking around and you get to a point where you see like some markings in the grass, not like symbols or runes or anything, but like almost burned markings. And when you like kneel down and kind of like pick up some of the burned grass and like you smell it, and you get a really strong smell of brimstone.
Brimstone. Okay. Can I, is there like a way I can follow that trail or something? Those tracks.
Yeah. Why don't you give me a survival check?
Let's for activate like a
tracking.
The witch's senses and follow that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
15.
You kind of get the scent. There's no more markings that you can see, but you pick up on the scent and you follow the scent just like a witcher would. And nice. It leads you to the spot where you think that creature teleported. So now you're kind of out by the main road. It's not super far away, but if you're out towards the main road, right in that area, and you find bones, like small bones, like humanoid bones, right where that creature was standing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, as a like above the table, I'm not very good with like human bodies, so I don't know like the bone names you find, but from what you gather, it's like a rib bone. Mm. And maybe an arm, like a part of like maybe a forearm, the bone in your forearm of a human,
right?
Or halfling, or like it's a humanoid bone. It's not necessarily human, but you do find that, and that's it.
And that's where the smell and the trail ends.
The smell, yeah, the smell brought you to that point, which is again where that hunched over creature you saw teleport away from. And then yeah, on the ground right there is like these two bones.
I'd like to collect these bones.
Okay.
And
yeah, you stash them away easy
and
enough.
Maybe like get someone to check them for magic trails of some kind. Maybe he used them in whatever teleport spell he was doing there.
Okay.
And then get back.
Okay. Rest of your shift goes uneventful. Next person that wants to take watch.
I guess I can take watch.
Okay. Yeah. Would you like to patrol? Would you like to just stand somewhere? It's totally up to you. What would you like to do on your watch?
Have I been informed about von Venrick, that about what he went out and found? Or
that's Venrick. Did you like when you kind of tap him from his sentry's rest mode?
Yeah, I guess we would have discussed him being the next one in line to take the watch, and I would report that to him. Yes.
Okay. So yeah, you know about it. He tells you about the spot he found it and everything like that.
Okay. Is there a place? Obviously, there's the gate at the front. To the left of it, you said it's got the flat walls on the top.
So like the gate is just like, think of like any walled
big gate
place. Yeah. It's the only way in and out. And the walls are fairly nice, like stone walls that are somewhat thick. They're probably like 2 to 3 feet thick, if you need kind of a reference for that. So decent, sturdy walls, but they're definitely no like castle city walls, you know. Like
yeah. That. So am I able to see all the ingress points into the actual like gated area, the monastery area from on top of the walls?
Yeah, there's just the one entrance, but if you want to get on top of the wall, it'd be super easy for you to do. Yeah. It's like, I don't know, like 9 to 10 feet tall. So like you could easily just jump up there. You're totally fine.
So I'd like to jump up and basically sit on the wall.
Okay.
Like you would sit on a toilet.
Yeah. Yeah. Easy enough to do.
And then like going like one arm over the chest, one hand like this. I've got a hand under my chin. And go sentry's rest mode, but be able to see like the full pan.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Anything walking in.
Cool. Few hours into your watch, the sun is starting to rise at this point. Give me a perception check as you're hanging out on the wall.
That's an 18.
18, very good. Nothing too eventful happens. You start to hear the birds of the forest starting to wake up and sing their morning songs. The swampy forest around you starts to kind of come alive as all the creatures of the night go to sleep and all the creatures of the day start to wake up. But yeah, nothing out of the ordinary. You see like a little wagon convoy that looks like it's heading towards like Hilfar come through. Just looks like to be a mix of halflings and elves, really. But just looks like it's two carts pulled by four horses, two for each one, probably about maybe 8 people in total. But they just look like kind of your normal merchant convoy. But yeah, that's really all you see on your watch.
Okay, no worries. So if I turn around, do I see like everyone in the monastery waking up and going about, starting to go about their days in the morning?
Yeah, like the ones that were up with you have retired to take their rests, and like yeah, there's definitely a lot more movement now through the monastery as the sun's coming up. You can see that there is like four monks and they're practicing. They're doing, you're a monk, so you're familiar with like the morning routines and like the daily routines of a monk. And you can see some that are like doing their sort of like a training session, but you don't see them fighting with their hands. They have like these astral arms that are coming out of them that they're practicing with, and they're kind of just like their hands are together. Their like physical hands are together as these astral arms doing the fighting, as there's like two of them sparring with each other, and another one's hitting one of those posts that's got all the wooden arms out of that come out of it in different directions. Everything that you would be very used to, and you kind of feel at home, actually, like being in a monastery again. You haven't been in one since you've left. It kind of feels, it's very, you might say this might be the most relaxed you have been, even though some dude did explode in here, but like it feels like home almost to you.
Am I able to hop down from where I'm at, mm-hmm. go over towards the monk who's doing the whole
the wooden post?
Yeah, the Wing Chun against the
I don't know exactly what it's called, but it, I think wooden post with a bunch of different wooden arms out of it, and you do all your stuff.
Basically, like to just basically give him a nudge, just say, like, good morning, give him a little bow as I would do in the
monster. Good morning.
And then just be like, so I'm from a monastery, quite a ways away.
Very good.
And I'm wondering if I'm able to, as your colleague is there here, they are sparring, but in a way I've not seen before.
Yes.
Would I be able to join you in sparring? So you would spar with me using the same method they are, and I would use my staff and try to defend your attack.
Sure, that'd be great. Yeah,
only good sport. I won't swing at you. You don't swing at me. You know, we'll keep it nice and clean. As you,
yeah, it's sparring. Yeah, it's sparring. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay. All right,
then
sure.
I will mount my stuff out of my arm. Not the one that's on my back, Soulbreaker. Be a bad idea. I will make my stuff, and then I will get in a ready stance, and then
you. So he this is a halfling. And you guys are stand in front of you, and he kind of does like a hand movement with both of his hands and arms. And then he brings them, as he's like bringing his hands together, these astral arms come out that look almost like a dragonborn's arms. They have scales and claws and stuff. And he like puts his head down, and when he brings his arms together, they come in full form, still astral. So they've got like this greenish see-through tint to them. And then you guys start. So I will do a series of rolls. There won't be any damage rolls, but just to see if he can get past your defenses.
Yeah, don't worry. Kronos only punches children.
Yeah. So so he starts coming at you, and you don't know if he's just being nice or if maybe he's just not as skilled as you, but you can read his movements super good. He rolled a 2 on his attack roll. So he comes in with 2 punches, and you deflect them very easily as you guys start to get into it. He comes at you again. God, I rolled another 2. And you're just like, you're kind of staying your ground. You guys start to move around in a circle as he's like coming at you with these astral arms and comes to you at you at the side, and you kind of just like bat away, and it's just super fluid. Just like think of any 2 monks parring with it. Looks like a dance more than anything. He continues to come at you as you continue to stand there. Gets a natural 20 as he like fakes you out with one arm, and you go to deflect that one, but with incredible speed the other one comes and gets you right in the chest, not for any damage or anything like that, but it does make contact and puts a little pressure on your breastplate. And then you guys continue to go at it for a little bit as he comes in with another group of attacks. God, it's the third 2 I've rolled.
Wow.
And an 8 as You guys continue to spar and you kind of just do a really good job of just like deflecting every attack with his spear. He gets you a few more times. After a bit, you guys end your sparring session and he says, well, you're very skilled as a monk. Which monastery did you come from?
Oh, it's a long way away. You probably might not have heard of it, you know. So over in Poldark, I don't know if you've heard of that.
Oh, I haven't heard of Poldark Monastery. What continent is that in?
I forgot the other.
It's Ostrith.
Ostrith, that's it. Yeah. I'm going to write it down.
Ostrith. Yeah, I've never been there. So, I wouldn't know of that monastery. But hey, it was great sparring with you.
Likewise.
Thanks. That was a great morning warm up. But I have some chores I need to go tend to. So,
No worries.
If you're sticking around, find me later. We'll have another session.
If we are, I'll more than happily come find you.
And he walks out. And for the sake of things, at this point, it's daytime. We don't really need to do another watch. So in a little bit, you all wake up. Everybody's fully rested. So heal up if you were damaged at all and get all your stuff back. And
they still have second breakfast here.
Yes, of course.
Nice.
You're in Halfland.
Only for
Halfland
Bernie.
Country.
Yeah. Ah, right.
Yeah. Jonathan speaks and says, well, we still got about 2 days of travel. You guys want to hit the road?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good idea.
Let's go.
Is it okay to leave the monastery with the threat they have at the moment?
Yeah, I would like to speak to the woman in charge again and be like,
well, I don't think she's here anymore.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
wait.
If at the end of the day, they are pretty well protected. Now, granted, yeah, sure, something bad could happen, but there are things we need to get to. As much as I'd love to stay here, I think they're very capable here to protect themselves.
Good to know. Yeah.
So I would just tell one of them who might appear to be second in charge there that about my findings and whatever I've observed with that hunched figure teleporting away somehow, and maybe that he controlled this corpse somehow, and who knows what the next threat that might come to them might not be like this, but different somehow, and that they could keep their guard up.
Yeah. Yeah. You find a dragonborn that is, he through like talking to other monks, you find him and he is kind of in charge, when Demo isn't around. And so you give him all the information. He thanks you. And you actually do go see him, like check out, like as you guys start to leave, you see him looking at like where you found the burned grass and where that person or creature teleported away. And so he definitely
has... might he know something when I show him the bones I've gathered?
I will roll for it. How about that?
Right.
No, he doesn't. I'm sorry. I'm not super acquainted with the magical side of this world. I'm more of
that's all right.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, I do not know, but thank you for the information.
Yeah, all the best to you and your fellows. See you around. Right.
You guys pack up and head out for the day. And with another day of travel ahead of you, you all settle into your saddles and leave the day. Another cloudy morning, you do hear thunder off in the distance as you think you might hit some rain today. And with that, will our adventurers get hit with a thunderstorm and cause it to slow down? I don't know. But we'll have to find out in the next episode of The Lost Oh my god.
City of Neckahama.
Not the right story. The
it's been a while.
Of Fall Hollow.
It's been a while.